I'm supposed to be talking about him as a travel writer. I personally feel that his best poetry is actually in his prose. I do love his poetry, and it reads, I think, better out loud than it does on the page, which is always a sign of a good poem. But his writing is, I think, quite consciously poetic all the time. There's always that search for the good metaphor or the ideal simile. He's a great transferer of epithets, if you know what I mean. He loves improbable juxtapositions of words. These are traits of a poet, after all. If you're a travel writer, you've got to be good at three things. You've got to be good at portraits of people, and there's no doubt that his writing is actually full of priceless portraits of the people that he's encountered. I can give you just one example. Incidentally, I think A Moment of War is his best book. Where can I find this? Here's a tiny little cameo, for example. You hardly need more than this paragraph or two. The old woman, however, was comfort and entertainment. Doña Tomasina from Cuenca was a widow of 50 whose husband, a leper, had been crushed by a rockfall in the cave where they lived. At the start of the Civil War, she was starving and walked to Albacete, where she now scrubbed at the barracks for 2 meals a day. Tomasina was sad about me and kept pulling my shoulders back with her thumbs and doing her best to keep my spirits up. Anyway, that's just a tiny little portrait. That's all you really need of Tomasina, and you have a lovely picture of what she's like. Secondly, you've got to be a good portrayer of places. Let's try this again, A Moment of War. You could choose hundreds of examples. It's completely arbitrary. We all know that he's a great writer about place. The church at Tarazona, or should I say Tarazona. I learned Spanish in South America, and I refused to lisp. Anyway. The central square in Tarazona must once have had some rough dusting elegance, but it was now badly battered by the fact of war. There had been no fighting here, but the withdrawal of all normal life, together with a sudden revulsion from the past, had left their sickly marks everywhere. Chief sufferer, of course, was the ancient church, whose high-roofed edifice, hacked from red stone, now grimly haunted the plaza. The outside looked blind, blank, and faceless. You notice the poet, the blind, blank, you know, that's a poet's trick. But the inside was now as bare as a barn. The walls and little chapels cleared of their stars and images, the altar stripped, all the vestments gone. I couldn't help being reminded of our own civil war and of Cromwell's followers hatcheting the faces of the old stone saints and stabling their horses in churches. Now the inside of Tarazona's own church had an almost medieval mystery and bustle, an absence of holy silences and tinkling rituals, and a robust and profane reoccupation by the people. I found soldiers sleeping by the walls under slashed and defaced icons, or sitting round flaming wood fires whose smoke drifted in clouds of shafted sunlight up to the smashed stained glass windows under the roof. Here were arguments, singing, the perpetual boiling of water in cans, curses of men stumbling over sleeping figures, the high jangling of bells rung for sport or mischief, the sudden animal shriek of female laughter. Lastly, of course, you need great depictions of events. Laurie Lee is good at big events and little events. One of the things I loved about A Rose for Winter was the descriptions of the rather dodgy or naff bullfights that he goes to, you may remember, where sometimes the bull just refuses to fight and sulks in a corner. And then the poor bugger gets killed anyway, and the crowd boos. Although Laurie Lee is a great romancer, he's also got quite a dry eye for those things which don't quite come up to scratch in life. Of course, A Moment of War revolves around an event which he hardly managed to take part in at all. The climax of the book, really, he was when he has just a moment, just one battle. He's in one battle where he says he kills one man. and at that point wonders what on earth this had all been for, what was the point of it. So it's a whole book, really, about not being in an event which he wanted to be in. I constantly wonder, I think Brian mentioned this, how much of what he wrote was elaborated. There's something that's been bothering me for years, which is that at the beginning of As I Walked Out One Midsummer Morning, he says he goes to Southampton first because he's never seen the sea. But then there's a very good description of a trip to Weston-super-Mare and sided with Rosie. Now, this is dodgy, you must admit.
You can't ever see the sea.
What?
You can't ever see the sea in Weston-super-Mare. It was a long way out.
Is it?